but we're going to give you your daily football fix and talk a little college football. And there's some great stories around the country every year, and one of them always seems to be over there with Virginia Tech and the job that Frank Beamer has done since taking over that program. Not just putting them on the map, but really making them a consistent power year in and year out. And we are fortunate enough to be joined by Will Roberts from TechSideline.com and talk a little bit more about the Hokies. Good afternoon.
Thanks for joining us, Will. How are you doing today?
No problem. Doing great, but I have to give you a small correction. It's Will Stewart at TechSideline.com.
He put Will Roberts up there on my deal. I apologize, Will.
Oh, somebody's in trouble for that.
His face is 10 sheets of red right now, and his nickname is My Bad.
Yes, because he spends a lot of time telling us, oh, my bad. And so here he is again. So, Will, my apologies.
No problem. How are things going there in Phoenix?
A little warm over here, but I would imagine that things get a little humid over there as well.
Now, what do you guys define as warm? Because, I was actually looking it up before we went on the air, because it's hot here today. It's actually near a record high, but it's only 91 degrees, and that probably makes you guys laugh.
That's not too bad. What's the humidity there?
Not really sure. Don't have weather.com in front of me right now, but it says that it feels like 96, so it's probably fairly humid. See, we're kind of up in the mountains. I'm in Radford, Virginia. It's just a stone's throw away from Blacksburg, and we're up in the mountains a little bit, so it's not as humid as other parts of Virginia.
Oh, well, that's not bad then. Well, yeah, I think it's supposed to be 107 here today.
So it's a cool day for you
guys. Yes, it's almost sweater weather here, Will. Well, let's jump into the Hokies. I mean, obviously a team that last year maybe surprised a few people. I go back and was reading some of the things as far as the preseason prognosticators last year, and nobody really predicted that they would make that move to the ACC and show up and have a great year, but boy, what do? They win the ACC, so pretty impressive record for them last year, and a couple of big-time losses coming to a couple of pretty good teams when you look at a team like USC, that first game of the season, and then the last game of the year when they lost to Auburn, or really probably a game they should have won, and then what, the other loss to North Carolina State, was that who it was?
Yeah, it was NC State about the fourth game of the season, I think. It was an interesting season for them last year because, historically Virginia Tech has performed better when they're underrated or there isn't much expected of them. One of the things that Frank Beamer struggled with is getting a Virginia Tech team that's highly regarded to perform up to those expectations. And going into last year, they were coming off of three straight seasons where they had finished poorly. And we're talking finishes like 2-4 and 2-5 and that sort of thing. And finally, I think last year the media had kind of given up on them and said, well, you know what, you guys, you're just not playing well, not since Michael Vick left, so we're going to pick you a sixth in an 11-team ACC. And what happened was Frank Beamer got back to basics. It took some measures to improve team chemistry and get the guys focused on the game, instead of on future NFL careers and things like that. And it really came together for them. They had, in addition to the stuff that the coaching staff did, they had some better leadership from the players, particularly quarterback Brian Randall. And, you guys had mentioned that loss to NC State. They lost to USC, won a couple easy games, then lost to NC State. And that was a really rough game for Virginia Tech because NC State just blitzed the heck out of them and had 10 sacks. And, the Hokies came under a lot of criticism after that game, but because they had good senior leadership and good coaching leadership, they pulled together and then won, I believe it was, 8 games in a row before they finally lost to Auburn in the Sugar Bowl.
You look at what's coming back this year. I think it's 8 starters on offense, so only 6 on defense, but the guy I think that they're going to miss most offensively is going to be Brian Randall because he really developed throughout his career, but last year he just did a great job for him.
He started a record 36 or 37 straight games at quarterback. That's a record at VT. And, up until about the 5th game of last year, it never really clicked for him. The big stat for him was his career interceptions to touchdown ratio was about 1-1. But going down the stretch last year, he had something like some outrageous number, like 13 touchdowns and just 1 interception coming down that stretch of 8 wins. And what he learned to do, guys, was he learned to bide his time and be patient and then come through and make the plays in the third and fourth quarter when they needed him. And he just set a great example both off the field and on the field. And, I've interviewed Randall a few times, and one of the things I asked him was, what does it take to be a good leader? And he said, you can do everything right in the locker room and everything right when you're talking to the press and dealing with coaches and other players, he said, but eventually you have to make plays on the field to be a true leader and get the respect of your teammates, and that's what he did last year.
Yeah, and did a wonderful job doing that. And I, no interview about Virginia Tech probably would go well or be complete without asking the proverbial question about one Marcus Vick. What is the latest on him, and how are things going over the summer?
Things are going great. You know, Marcus had a great spring. Yeah, as you can imagine, he stayed out of trouble, because if he got in any trouble, believe me, you'd hear about it. So he had a good spring practice-wise, and, you know, we'll get to Marcus's skills in a second, but I think the key thing he did during the spring was he only threw two interceptions all spring. He threw one at one point in some drills, and then he threw another one in the spring game. But other than that, he was error-free, and he's got good wheels. He's got a good arm. He's accurate downfield. You know, I don't think anybody's as physically gifted as his brother is, but when you see Marcus play, you see a lot of those characteristics. And, you know, one of the things Marcus does really well is he's just like Michael in that when he breaks the pocket to run, or when he's on a design run, he's got vision where he can break containment. He can see the whole field all at once, pick his spot, and accelerate to it. So you're sitting there watching him, and you're thinking, yeah, he's going to get about 5 yards on that run, and, you know, 15 yards later, he's got a first down. So he's got a little bit of that that Michael's got, and you just hope that the intangibles, that the leadership, and also his passing game come along, and that he becomes a complete player.
Well, Will, when you start looking at the running game, the kid I really liked was Mike Emo. How have things progressed for him?
Emo's, you know, back to 100%. He had some ankle problems at the end of last year, and he's a guy who's about my height. He's about 5'8", but he's a lot bigger and a lot stronger than I am. He's a kid who I think he goes around 190 or 200, and, you know, he was a power lifter in high school, so he's a real strong kid and tough to tackle and good catching the ball out of the backfield. And the other running back they've got is a fellow senior, a guy named Cedric Humes.
Mm-hmm.
And Cedric is a 6'1", 6'2 guy, but he weighs up in the 225 to 235 range, and he's a guy that they use, you know, once they have a close game or they have a lead late in the third and fourth quarter, they just start using Humes to just bludgeon teams into submission. And, you know, that's what happened down in Miami last year was, you know, Miami didn't have a defensive back over 200 pounds. So when the Hokies started getting Humes, you know, released through the line at 230, you know, he just wears guys down. So they have a pretty nice running game.
Talk a little bit about, before we get to defense, talk a little bit about Frank Beamer and the job he's done there. I had a chance to meet him when you guys were out here for the Insight Bowl a couple years ago. And a guy very involved special teams-wise and things like that. You said got back to basics a little bit last year. Just talk about him, the job he's done, and his stature there at Virginia Tech.
You know, we can go on and on and on about that, so you may have to cut me off here. Frank came on board in 1987, and he inherited a mess. He inherited a team that was put on probation for a couple years, and the athletic department was in a lot of debt, so, you know, they were really playing from behind the eight ball. And he had lost over the course of his first 2 years. He was allowed to recruit 30 players, whereas everybody else in the NCAA was allowed to recruit 60, because back then you could sign 30 players a year, and he was restricted to 30 over 2 years. So he started out really behind the eight ball, and then he built the team up a little bit, and then, of course, the big break for Virginia Tech was getting a Big East membership. It started started back in 1991, and then they started playing round robin in 1993, and that allowed him to improve his recruiting. And he still struggled some the first few years because, he needed to learn how to be a head coach and a program manager. And he went, in 1992, in his sixth year, he went 2-8-1, and there was a lot of pressure from alumni to fire him because his teams were playing undisciplined football, and it just didn't look like he had what it took to be a good head coach. So he reevaluated things. He got rid of a couple of buddies he had on his coaching staff, and ever since then, it's just taken off. They've gone to a bowl every year since 1993, and what he's good at, guys, is you know his reputation as a special teams coach, but other than that, he's really good at backing off and letting his assistants coach the offense, coach the defense, you know, make major decisions. He's not really a hands-on guy when it comes to offense and defense. And it's just been you heard the phrase perfect storm. And for Virginia Tech over the last 15 years or so, it's just been a perfect storm of conference membership and, you know, Frank Beamer's recruiting abilities and coaching abilities. Everything's just really come together for him, and they've just built a heck of a program.
Well, they are, and, you know, they're a national power now. And, I mean, what was going on in the spring game? 34,000 people in Lane Stadium for the spring game?
You know, I remember going to the spring game back in 1995, and there were, you know, maybe 500 or 1,000 of us sitting around the stands. And then it started raining, and, boy, that place cleared out. You know, and it's hard to put your your finger on what's happened. You know, Virginia Tech has a reputation for having a great fan base, but where it really started to take off was right around 1999, 2000. You know, got it up until 1999. They didn't sell out every home game. And we're talking a stadium that only held about 51,000 people at the time. So then the Michael Vick effect came and went, and, you know, the fan base has just caught fire. And I think part of it is they've gotten the reputation, so the fans are trying to live up to the reputation. So they show up and they act crazy, and now the stadium's 65,000 people, and they fill it every game. On the offensive side of the ball, you know, there's really not a whole lot of holes to fill there. I'd say it would have to be Brian Randall. You know, Marcus has to play up to his capabilities and, you know, be a good quarterback. But they've got their entire receiving core coming back pretty much. They got their key running backs and good offensive line, too.
And a couple of pretty good tight ends, too.
Yeah, they've got Jeff King coming back. He's a preseason All-ACC first team, and they got a really promising young guy named Dwayne Brown to back him up.
Well, let's move to the defense, because you did lose some guys to the NFL, some very good football players off that defensive line and also out of the secondary.
But I think the biggest concern is at free safety, because Fuller really was the quarterback of the defense and, you know, really knew what he was doing there. And they lost Jim Davis off the defensive line, but, you know, I think they're going to be able to put together a pretty good defensive line. In particular, they've got three really quality defensive ends and got some good linebackers coming back and young guys, Xavier Adeniyi and Vince Hall. So, you know, everything shakes out pretty well, but that, you know, that defensive backfield, they need some young guys to step up, in particular the new free safety.
Well, talk a little bit about this upcoming season. You open up at North Carolina State, then at Duke, then home against Ohio, and then you're home against Georgia Tech. So throughout your first four games, conference games, couple on the road. Talk about how you see this season unfolding and where you see this Virginia Tech team finishing.
Well, you know, they should be favored, guys, to win every game. You know, even that opener at NC State, they were picked yesterday to finish first in their half of the ACC in the Coastal Division. So, you know, they're in good shape. That game at NC State, that's a big one because, you know, last year NC State, like I told you, just came at them and beat them. And, you know, I think they expect to see some of that again this year because NC State's got a couple just outstanding defensive ends that they're bringing back in Mario Williams and Manny Lawson.
Yep.
And of course, you got to go down there to Carter Finley, which sells out for every game. And, you know, it's funny, guys. In one respect, that's an extremely important game. But in another respect, just like last year, they can lose that game but yet still go on to win their half of the conference, you know, if they just take care of business at Virginia and at home against Miami. So, you know, that's a pretty critical beginning stretch. But, you know, if something happens at NC State, they can rebound from that. You know, like I mentioned, later on in November, they've got Miami at home, and that's big because they beat Miami 7 out of 10, and you know, I like their prospects to handle Miami at home. So, you know, I go with the media on that one. I think, you know, if they play up the expectations and don't have any bad injuries, they should win half of the conference.
You know, I'm curious about a guy that plays up front on the defense, too, Darryl Papp. I mean, is he a leader for this football team?
Yeah, Darryl's been the kind of guy to, you know, obviously we talked about making plays on the field, and Darryl can make plays on the field, but you saw in him in his freshman year leadership qualities. He's a guy who just works his butt off in the weight room and in workouts and just is an outstanding individual from a good family. And, you know, he's been a guy that you could tell very early on as a true freshman that he was just going to be a leader for the team. And, you know, he's really ready to take that role. And, you know, you guys have probably heard the story about the lunch pail that the leader of the defense carries around. And, you know, last year as a junior, Tapp took possession of that thing and said, I've got it this year. If you want it, you're going to have to come through me to get it. So he's really embraced that leadership role, and, you know, he really wants to be the guy this year.
Well, I'm excited for Tech. I think this could be a great football team this year, and we really appreciate you taking some time with us today, Will. And we'll look to catch up with you somewhere in the middle of the season.
No problem, fellas. I'll be here. Appreciate the interview.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. Well, my bad. Gets his name wrong.
Other than the start, very nice interview.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Other than the start.
Just trust him.
Tell him the fellow is cool, Robert. Really. Unbelievable.
I honestly, you know what? When he comes on the other side, I want it on the air. I want his explanation.
Will Stewart.
On the other side.
GMProtectSideline.com. Joining us and look for Virginia Tech to be a player over there in the ACC. We'll be back after this break on KDUS.